Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you. And so I'm really glad you're here. So if you stand to your feet, Genesis chapter 49, let's read. And some of you may not be physically able, but if you are, let's stand as we give reverence to the Word of God. And I know you say, no, I'm not physically able. I've worked all day, preacher, and I understand that. But just bear with me a little bit. I've got to stand behind here all the whole time while you say it. So if you'll stand with me a little bit, it makes me feel a little better. All right, Genesis chapter 49. Let's begin reading verse 19. Verse 19, these are the words of Jacob. Or God changed his name to Israel, and he is speaking to his sons here, his 12 sons. He is speaking these blessings to his sons, and I believe this is he's speaking to Gad here. In verse 19, he says, Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Verse 22, Naphtali is a hind or a doe let loose. He giveth goodly words. I'm going to quit writing in my Bible because I can't hardly see what I'm reading. Verse 22, the Bible speaks about Joseph being a fruitful branch, even a fruitful branch by a whale, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Our Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we go into the Word of God. I pray you give me clarity of thought. You know, the studying, the running, the things that I've had to do, much like these other folks, they've worked hard. Lord, some may have not had supper yet, some may not have long to rest, but Lord, they wanted to be here, and I'm grateful for that. I love, Lord, this church. I love the spirit we have here. I love the way that they show their appreciation one to another. They love each other, and I thank you, Lord. They were, last night and today, Lord, there were two folks in our church working in the graveyard, cemetery, working on the grounds, Lord. And Lord, these folks don't want any kind of recognition, Lord, but you saw what they were doing. And I want to thank you for so many folks that put their heart into this ministry. I pray you'll help me to do that tonight as we give this Bible study in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. In Genesis chapter 49, there's several things we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to try to end the study tonight looking at Joseph. Of course, more things are said about Joseph in this chapter than any of the other sons of Jacob. And so we're going to probably deal much with him tonight. I'm thinking that tonight and next Wednesday night, we should be totally done with the book of Genesis. So you do pray that God would give me wisdom, discernment on the next book that we need to begin studying here on our Wednesday night Bible study. Now, you remember that Jacob is nearing death. There has been three meetings that Jacob has had with his sons. The very first meeting, of course, with Joseph, and which he gave a piece of land that he had won. Jacob had won in battle. And then the second meeting was with Joseph and Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And in chapter 49, this is the third and final meeting or deathbed meeting of Jacob with his sons, and all 12 are present. And what he's doing in this chapter, he is calling them one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, and he is speaking a blessing to them. He is also dividing the inheritance among his 12 sons. He is getting some things in order. And he also, by God's help, he's prophesying. He's prophesying to these 12 sons concerning their descendants and their future. And we've already looked at Reuben
And we've studied what Jacob had to say to him being unstable as water because of his sin with Jacob's wife, Bilhah. Then we looked at there was Simeon and Levi. Both of those boys were guilty of mass murder because of the rage they had towards the men of Shechem because they raped their sister Dinah. And then there, of course, was Judah. And Judah, of course, is the one that is blessed. His seed will be blessed by bringing forth the Lord Jesus Christ into this earth and bring about David and Solomon, some of the greatest kings that Israel has ever had. And then we went through with Zebulun and Issachar and Dan. And then we stopped in verse 18 where Jacob, can I remind you, Jacob is talking to Dan and he says he's a serpent by the way. We talked about how Dan's descendants would commit spiritual idolatry. They would turn away from God Jehovah and they would go after false gods and they would really fail in their testimony with God. And so in verse 18, I love this, Jacob in his feeling that despair and that frustration, just that brokenheartedness to know that his sons, Dan's descendants are going to go this way. He says, Lord, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And of course, salvation, we've talked about salvation, speaking of Jehovah. He is saying, I've waited. And when he mentions Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in verse 18, that's a reference to God, God Jehovah. And he's saying there, I have waited for thy, God's salvation. And of course, that salvation we ended last week is referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is salvation. And a lot of folks say, Jesus gave me salvation. No, Jesus is salvation. You can't have salvation without Jesus. Amen. I went somewhere today and was out about and I said, I'm going to pull in here and get a haircut. And by the way, after they cut my hair, it took 10 minutes to sweep all the hair up and throw away and everything. It was really, the traffic, it was just bad that people had to wait extra 10 minutes. But you understand that. I'm a man. I like Samson, have a lot of hair. But, I enjoyed talking with the barber, and the barber got talking to me, and he was talking to the man in front of me. And he said something about the, about church, and they got talking about, and it's hard for me to sit in a chair waiting my turn and shut my mouth when people are talking about the church or about the Bible. I've got to get in there. I've got to get in there. And the barber was asking questions, and this gentleman sitting at the chair, he was giving pretty good answers, you know. But you know how you feel. You feel like you can give a better answer at times, you know. And so I'm biting my tongue wanting to preach, you know. And they got talking about different people that, boy, you just really think they're somebody, you think they're a good Christian, and they fail. And I thought, man, some of the greatest Christians in the Bible failed. David was a man after God's own heart. He failed miserably. And I started, Moses murdered a man. And I started thinking about it. And I'm not condoning falling. I'm not condoning failing God. But I do know that we are going to fail. We're going to sin. But thank God, if we confess it, He'll cleanse us. And He can clean our vessels up. Amen. And use us for His glory. And so he was talking, so that guy left, so we began talking, and he said, what you do for a living? I said, well, my living is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think he kind of was set back because the whole time he was talking and didn't realize that a pastor was sitting in a chair listening. And so I got my chance, and I talked to him about the Lord, and he said, well, I don't like to, and this is a sad statement, I don't like to condemn other religions, people's religious beliefs. I believe that that there's all these different ways that people believe, and as long as we're in heaven together, all that matters. I said, well, sir, I said, the Bible speaks about having discernment and to judge all things, we that are righteous, and Jesus said that He's the way, and we've got a crowd running around that believe Allah's the way, but He's not. I said, we got another crowd running around, I believe Mary's the way, but she's not. I said, Jesus is the way. I said, and if you don't preach that, and if you don't share that, I said, folks are going to go to hell on your watch. We've got to give them the truth. Amen. And Jesus is the only way. And I told him, I said, do you believe Jesus is the only one that gives salvation? I said, no, sir. He said, well, what? I said, no, sir. I believe Jesus is salvation. I said, you can't get salvation without Jesus. You got to have Jesus. If you get Jesus, you got salvation. Amen. Thank you. You're welcome. There's a message. Let's go on to Genesis 49. But I got thinking about his salvation. Now, he speaks to Gad here, okay? And he says to Gad, he says, Gad, he shall be a troop, verse 19, and he shall overcome, or a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Now, you remember when Gad, who is the son of Zilpah, and Zilpah, of course, was Leah's handmaid. You remember that Leah had four sons. She had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then she thought she could have any more children, so she gave her handmaid to Jacob as for a wife. And she had this boy named Gad. And when she had Gad, the Bible says that the announcement was made, a troop cometh. A troop cometh. And so Jacob says to Gad, he says, a troop, and this is speaking of military, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Now, when you study the Gadites and you study the land they lived, you would notice that they were attacked often, and often they were overcame by their enemy, but they did finally get victory. And through their battles, even though they lost many battles, they lost many conflicts, they became strong soldiers through that. Can I say spiritually, you're going to lose some battles. Your flesh is going to beat you sometimes. The world's going to beat you down sometimes. Satan's going to trip you up. Amen? Are you with me? They will. He will. But through that, God can strengthen you and make you a great soldier of the cross. Moses said that the men of Gad, the warriors of Gad, he compared them to a brave lion, a courageous lion. In Joshua chapter 22, Joshua said that the descendants of Gad were great warriors. But it took some losing some battles. It took conflict. And you said, preacher, I don't like all this conflict in my life. Well, you need to quit praying to make that you be a good Christian. Quit praying, God, use me. Quit praying, God, I want to be a blessing. Just you better quit praying that, because you're going to have battles. Because God uses our battles to strengthen us in the faith, to strengthen us as warriors of the cross. Now there's verse number 20. We go to Asher. He says to Asher, he said, his bread shall be fat, which means rich. The word fat here is rich. His bread shall be fat. The word bread is speaking of his welfare, his wealth, his bread. Even today, folks like to call money their bread. And it says, his bread shall be fat or rich, and he shall yield royal. The Bible speaks of how Asher was a man that was blessed. Moses said that the descendants of Asher were greatly blessed of God. If you study the land that Asher and his descendants began to live in Canaan, they were the ones that were in a land that was full of olive oil. And because of this olive oil, it made the descendants of Asher very rich people. They were greatly blessed of God. I want to say this. The only way you can be rich in the Lord is through the oil, the heavenly oil, the Holy Spirit. The only way you can be rich as a Christian, and you say, you talking about, no, I'm not talking about greenbacks. I'm not talking about finance. I'm talking about blessings. God's touch upon you. The only way you can be rich in your faith, you're going to have the oil. The oil made the descendants of Asher rich. And it's the Holy Spirit that anoints us, that makes us great Christians for His glory. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't be what you are to be. Now, verse 21, there's Naphtali. He says, Naphtali. He said he is going to be a hind or a doe let loose. He giveth goodly words. Now, when you study Naphtali and where they settled down, his descendants settled down in Canaan, the land that was given them by Jacob in inheritance, you'll find that these people were known to be, the word was free-spirited people. Free-spirited people. You'll also, if you study Naphtali and his descendants, you'll find that they love poetry. They love poems. They were people that were called people of graceful words. And he says there, he says, Naphtali, he says, he's like a doe let loose, a free-spirited people. And he says that what? He giveth goodly words. That's speaking of his speech. They were blessed the way they became some of the greatest messengers Israel ever had. Goodly speech. They loved poetry and words, and they spoke very eloquently, so to speak. And now we get to Joseph. Let's get to Joseph. This is where I want to be anyway, but I couldn't skip those. All right, Joseph, verse 22. Jacob says he's got two sons left. He's got Joseph and Benjamin. He's already dealt with 10 out of 12. And don't forget, Jacob is nearing his death here. And so he has two sons left, Joseph and Benjamin. Now, Jacob has never hid his love that he had for Joseph and Benjamin. Joseph and Benjamin were from the womb of Rachel. Rachel was the wife he loved more than any other wife. He loved Rachel. It was the wife that he worked for initially for 7 years so that he might earn the right to love her and to be her husband. And so he loved Joseph, Joseph being the firstborn of Rachel. And of course, Benjamin was born, and once he came forth, Rachel died there near Bethlehem. And today, her grave is just not even a mile from the city of Bethlehem. And so, he always showed his favoritism. He made it known publicly how he felt about Joseph and Benjamin. And of course, rightfully so, of Joseph, God's hand was on Joseph. And it's Joseph that will be the one that will receive the birthright. And so there's much said about Joseph. Let's go through this about Joseph. No other son is given more verses in this chapter than Joseph. No son received more words from their father than Joseph. And no son received as much blessing, inheritance, as Joseph did. And so it's very important that we look at Joseph and we study Joseph. Now, notice the Bible says, verse 22, Joseph. He's talking about being a very fruitful branch. Very fruitful. That's very important. And he says that he's this fruitful branch that the picture is by a well. And he says he's so fruitful in verse 22 that his branches run over the wall. And I want to stop there and I want to look at verse 22 a little bit. There's a lot of things there. Now, I guess if you want to talk about someone that possessed godly character in the Bible, I would say that the top two, to me, the top two that were known in their day and are still known today in our day for having tremendous godly character, it would be Joseph and Job. Joseph and Job, although they went through some fierce battles, fierce trials, fierce tribulations, fierce temptations. Them two men were very godly men. They had godly character. And so I believe if we study just these few verses concerning Joseph and the character that he possessed, we study it and we apply it to our life, we'll benefit much from it. Oh, that God would give us some Josephs in our day and age. Oh, that God would give us some Josephs at Open Door Baptist Church. All that we might have the characteristic traits, godly characteristic traits that Joseph had in his life. Now I want to look first of all in verse 22. First thing I want you to see is that Jacob says, my son Joseph, you might want to write this down. He said, my son Joseph is a fruitful branch. I'm going to show you three things about Joseph and his fruitfulness. Now, is it not right that God has asked you and I to bear fruit? Amen? Are you with me? To bear fruit. To bear fruit. We're to be fruitful Christians. Joseph was said to be a fruitful branch. Now, I want to see three things about Joseph and his fruitfulness. And I believe we can apply it to our lives and become better Christians for God's glory also as Joseph was. Number one, let's look at the evidence. The evidence of Joseph's fruitfulness. The evidence of Joseph's fruitfulness. Oh, that it be said of you and I that when we leave this world, that our testimony was they were a fruitful Christian. They were a fruitful Christian. Now, when I say fruitful Christian, or when I say Joseph was fruitful as a Christian, and when I say that you and I need to be fruitful Christians, I'm speaking of two different areas. When it's said that someone is a fruitful Christian, number one, it means that they are winning people to the Lord. They are fruitful. They are producing. Do you know what sheep produce? Sheep. Sheep produce sheep. You and I are sheep in the Lord's pastures. We are to produce other sheep. We're to go out, spread the gospel. You may not be the one, like last Sunday morning, Victoria said she was saved, and you know, I preached the message. Angela used the Bible letter to the Lord. But yet Tim and Beverly brought her to church. Tim and Beverly invited her to church. So many of you loved her, shook her hand, let her know that you're glad she's here. There are so many of you that prayed during the invitation, Lord, save somebody. There's so many of you that were here faithfully and you were ready to help if you needed to. We all had a part in when folks get saved. And so we all have a part in being fruitful, many different ways to be fruitful as a Christian, many different ways that we can win people to the Lord. You and I, and this as a church family, we passed the 10,000 mark on our sermon audio download. 10,000 downloads. And in about, 13 months, 10,000. Praise the Lord. You have no idea who's heard the gospel from this pulpit. You have no idea who has been saved. I received an email through Brother Harmon from someone in New Zealand who was encouraged and helped by Sunday's message. Said her family has stood against her as she took some stands. She is trying to press on, press towards, and the message helped her so. We receive emails from India and other places that we receive it around the world, and sometimes we don't hear from folks, but over 10,000, that's not counting the videos that's been downloaded, that's not counting those that's listened to the live webcasting on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, 10,000, hallelujah, around the world. We were in 42 states last month and 26 countries, the gospel. Listen to me, you have a part in that. We got to be fruitful. And there's winning people to the Lord. But the second way you be fruitful as a Christian is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Galatians 5:22. By the way, the number 9 is a number, God's number, for fruitfulness. In Genesis chapter 9 is when, after the flood, God told Noah and his sons to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. The 9th book of the Old Testament gives us the beginning of the greatest fruitful king Israel ever had, and that was David. The 9th book of the New Testament is Galatians. Galatians is the book where you find the fruit of the Spirit. You also find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. 5 and 2 is 7 plus 2 is 9. And on I could go about the number 9 in the Bible. It speaks of being fruitful. And we are to bear fruit. We are to bear fruit. How many fruit of the Spirit are mentioned in 22 and 23? How many? How many are they? There's 9. There's 9. Galatians 5:22 and 23. There are 9. Ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit. They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. 9. 9 is the number of God for fruitfulness. Do you know that in the, is it the 9th book? Let's see. What is the 9th book? I mentioned Galatians. I already mentioned that. Do you remember, was it Acts chapter number 9? Let me look, make sure so I don't say anything that I'll regret after I get home and say I messed that up. Acts chapter number 9 is this story of the conversion of the most fruitful Christian in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. It is in Acts 9 that we read about his salvation. And no one was more fruitful in the New Testament than the Apostle Paul. And so 9 is a really big number. And if I'll get on numerology and I'll be on it all night, so I better stop right there. But the evidence of Joseph's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness means to win people to the Lord. Producing fruit. And then we also not only produce fruit, not only we produce other sheep, but we bear the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to look at these 9. And I hope this speaks to your heart. I want to look at the 9 ingredients. Some people say the fruits, plural, but it's not. It's fruit, singular. I want to look at these 9 ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to go through each one of them and look at Joseph's life, kind of reminisce about what we studied about Joseph. And in doing that, I hope that you will allow the Holy Ghost to examine your heart when we deal with this. This might get close to corn tonight, so buckle your seatbelts. The first is love. If the Bible says Joseph was a man that was fruitful, was there love seen in Joseph's life? Oh, my. He loved his father, Jacob, much. Oh, how he loved his father, Jacob. So often we read of his love for his father. But he also had love for his 11 brothers. Even though they didn't love him, he loved them. They didn't love him, but he loved them. He had love, was very evident in his life. When I asked you, is it evident in your life that you love, first of all, the Lord? Do you love the Lord? It's a shame that the psalmist David had to write in the book of Psalms, "Oh, that the saints would love the Lord." That's a shame. Oh, a plea, an earnest plea from the psalmist, "Oh, that the saints, the people that's been saved by His grace, oh, that they would love the Lord." I want to ask you, do you love the Lord tonight? Do you say it or do you love the Lord? Joseph loved his God. Number two, what about joy? Second is joy. Was it evident? Is there evidence in Joseph's life that he had joy? I never read of Joseph ever getting bitter. Probably, and I'm stepping out, and I could be wrong, but I would say probably 7 out of 10. I was going to say 8 out of 10. But I'm going to say 7 out of 10 Christians that would go through what Joseph went through, 7 out of 10 would end up bitter. Maybe only 3 would end up with joy. 7 out of 10 probably end up bitter. Here's a man that was falsely accused. He was hated by and mistreated by his brethren. He was sold as a slave. He worked as a slave in a foreign, heathen land of Egypt. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of doing something that he never thought of doing. Then he was placed in prison. And then he helped the butler and the baker, and they forgot him. And then he had all these things against him, but I never read of bitterness in Joseph's life. Why? Because he was full of joy. Let me tell you something tonight. Satan can't take your salvation, but he sure can take the joy of your salvation. He can make you a miserable Christian. He can make you bitter against God, not Joseph. Oh, what an example. Don't let things make you bitter. Oh, hang in there. Trust the Lord. And the Bible says that joy, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Amen. What about peace, love, joy, peace? Peace. With all the hardships, with all the setbacks, with all the misunderstandings, with all the mistreatments that came in Joseph's life, Joseph seems to have such a wonderful peace in his life. He seems that there was always this peace that abided in his heart. And I'm telling you that this peace didn't come from the world. It didn't come from a liquor bottle. Amen. It didn't come from a marijuana joint. It didn't come from immorality, real peace, enduring peace. Eternal peace only comes from Jesus Christ. And he had peace. Had peace. Let me ask you, where you are right now in your spiritual life, you don't have to answer, but where you are right now, if you're honest with yourself, and if you're not honest with yourself, you don't get any help tonight. But be honest with yourself, where you are right now in your spiritual life, with all the things that go on in your life against you, the things that are coming against you, do you right now have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your life? Or are you wrestling? Are you battling? Are you struggling? Then God help us to get things right and enjoy that peace that only comes from the Lord. The man had peace in his life. Nothing in his life was peaceful except his peace. Everything else was hectic. Everything else was a struggle. But yet, he had peace. He had peace. Christians can go through the hardest things in their lives, but yet they can have peace. I've experienced that. I've experienced it time and time. And I've also at times struggled with it. I've also struggled in my bosom, in my soul, in my heart, in my mind, and not have that peace. But I have had times where I've had the peace that passes all understanding. What about long suffering? Did Joseph have long suffering? Well, let me ask you. Do you remember when his brothers sold him for money? Remember when his brothers hated him? You remember when his brothers lied about him and told their dad he's dead? I mean, he found all this out. Reuben opened his mouth. Simeon, they all opened their mouth and told the story. They didn't even know it was Joseph, but they told the whole story. And Joseph, he knew. He said, what? Y'all went home to my father and y'all told him that I was dead? All this time, Jacob, my father, thought I was dead? Boy, he had to practice some long suffering, didn't he? Was he not cooperative with Potiphar as a slave? He was so cooperative to Potiphar as a slave that Potiphar gave him charge over all his house. He told Potiphar's wife, he said, Potiphar has not held back anything from me except you, his wife. Why? Because he was long-suffering as a slave. He didn't deserve to be a slave. He was mistreated. He ended up being a slave, but yet he cooperated. Why? Because he had long-suffering. And I believe that long-suffering is a need in a lot of people's life, isn't it? I had to battle with that at times, to be long-suffering. And I'm reminded how long-suffering the Lord is towards me. Hey, man, you're welcome. I'll tell you what, why do we go out and not have long suffering, but yet the Lord has it towards us? The time he was in prison, unjustly in prison, did he not have the trait of long suffering? He was long suffering. What about when God gave about towards his brothers? He had a chance to take their heads off their shoulders, didn't he? He finally is in second in command of Egypt. He has a chance to say off with their heads. Or forever, let them die. Let them go to prison. Let them die and rot in prison. But he was long suffering. Let's go on. That's not a good one there. Let's go on. What about gentleness? Did he have gentleness? Did Joseph possess gentleness? What about when he was in prison? And what about when the baker and the butler came and they had these dreams? And they couldn't interpret. They didn't understand it. Being Egyptians, religious, false religion, what was it, 2,000 false gods that they worshipped? And so they need to understand what this dream was because they felt that every dream was important to understand, to interpret, because they thought a false god was speaking to them. And if they did not get the interpretation of that dream, then they felt like their life was in danger and that God would take their life from them. They had to know what that interpretation was. Here's Joseph, thrown in prison for something he did not do. He's going through the hard time of his life. Some Christians probably would say, I've got enough problems to be dealing with your problems. I don't know if you're asleep tonight or if you're getting convicted tonight. I don't know. I hope it's conviction. I got my own problems. I don't need to hear yours. I ain't going to help him. Deal with it, man. I got to deal with mine. You deal with yours, bozo. Amen. Not Joseph. Joseph had gentleness. You know, and the preacher said, we're going to try to raise money for a family in our church that's in need. And the first thought is, I hope in the name of the Lord he's talking about my family. I bet it's not, because he don't know anything about my family. And then I mentioned the family. I said, see there, I knew it wasn't my family. He want me to give money towards somebody else in this church. They probably ain't having it as hard as I am. What about gentleness? Do you believe that God is indebted to any man? I do not. God will not be indebted to you for doing right. And when you help others and you reach out to be a blessing, you'll get more blessing than you could ever be to anybody else. You know what we're living in today? We're living in the day, and a lot of preachers on the TV and on radio and so forth, they are pushing this philosophy of the blessing drive. Sow a seed. Come on now. Sow a seed. And I say, my brothers and my sisters, how about sowing a seed? $5. Oh, if we could just get 1,000 people, give $5. Call in the day and let's sow a seed. They push the blessing draft. They push that blessing. You know what? What about instead of having this attitude, I want a blessing. I want a blessing. Give me a blessing. What about that too? Let me be a blessing to you. It's supposed to flow through us. Being a blessing to others, amen? Being a blessing to others, amen? We are so consumed with our own problems that we're blinded to everybody else's. You're welcome. You are welcome tonight. I'm telling you, we need it tonight. Joseph didn't say, I got my own problems, dude. I'm down here and I shouldn't be here. I thought I was going to be somebody. I had this dream that everybody was going to bow down to me, and look what God did to me. God messed up. Look where I am tonight. I'm in prison. You deal with your own problems, man. I got mine. You deal with yours. I think the Bible says something about bear one another burdens. Is that in there? Have y'all read that? I didn't make that up, did I? All right. I'll make sure. Bear one another's burdens. Help each other out. Amen? Or to help people out. You know what they used to say? And they'd say it in school, and I remember it in school all the time. Somebody'd want money for the drink machine or the candy machine or the chip machine or for lunch. And they'd say, you got a dollar? And they'd love to say this word, help a brother out. Help a brother out. Amen. Hey, help a brother out. Help a sister out. Amen. Help them out. Amen. Preacher, listen to me. I believe God will not be indebted to you. You help. Maybe because God hadn't done more for you, it's because you're stingy. With all the song books done past. Maybe because you're just stingy. Amen. I'm telling you. Whew, I thought long suffering was hard. I gotta take my jacket off. It's getting hot in here. Gentleness. Are you gentle towards people? Do you help others? Preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. Obviously, you don't understand what everybody else is going through either. You're not the only one got heartaches. Amen? These people that always want to mooch. They want to come to church, see what the church can do for them. I don't have time for them. I don't mind helping folk, but that's their attitude. It's me, 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 me. No. It's about others. 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 You know what they used to say? Joy. What is joy? Well, J is first Jesus. The O is others. And then Y is yourself. But it's changed. In our day and age, J is Jesus. O is ourselves. And Y is you. Because I come before you do. No. It's others and then yourself. Not ourselves and then you. Amen? Amen. You can have that for free. That was a good one too. All right, what about goodness? What about goodness? Was Joseph, did he have the trait of goodness? You know what goodness is? You know where you've seen goodness in Joseph's life? It's when he kept his integrity, when he was truthful, when he was honest to his father, to his brothers, to Potiphar and to Pharaoh. He never tried to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. You know where we got that little phrase, pull the wool over somebody's eyes? And you know, when we in the war, Revolutionary War, when we won our independence from England, it started in England, but in colonial America, early America, the judges would wear a robe and they would wear a wig that was made like of wool. And the statement was, they wore that because of the book of Revelation's description of the great judge, Jesus Christ. And we've talked about this before. But that wool wig, you ever seen that? Well, you look at the colonial American days and you can see they've got, that's not their hair, that's a wool wig. And the statement was, to a judge, you're not going to pull the wool over his eyes where he can't see, you know? And you're not going to pull the wool over God's eyes. He knows our hearts. He knows when we're truthful. He knows when we're honest with each other. Joseph was honest to his father. He never deceived his father. His father was a deceiver. Jacob deceived. But Joseph never deceived his father. He never deceived his brothers. Joseph never was dishonest to Potiphar. He could have been dishonest. Potiphar's wife made herself available often to Joseph. And for him to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife, that was being dishonest with Potiphar. He never stole anything from Potiphar's house. I don't know how much he was left all alone on that property and that palace of Potiphar, but yet he stayed honest. And then when he became second command, even he was given all that authority, he kept his honesty. He kept his integrity. I want to ask you, are you honest with people? Are you a person of integrity? Are you that? People say, you know what you're made of when you're all by yourself, what you do. Not when folks are around, but when you're by yourself. What you watch, what you look on the internet, what you talk about, what you think about, that'll tell you what kind of person you really are. Amen. I told you to fasten your seatbelt. I told you that. I warned you. All right, faith. Amen. Faith. Did Joseph practice faith? We're talking about Joseph's fruitfulness. The evidence of his fruitfulness. Jacob said that he will be a fruitful branch. What is the evidence? Well, the evidence is there in the fruit of the Spirit. He had love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What about faith? Without a doubt, Joseph had faith. You remember that the whole time he just trusted God. He trusted God. Joseph had faith while he was in prison. Do you remember that? Those two boys, butler and the baker, he interpreted their dream. And then whenever the butler was exalted back to serve Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler remembered, oh, there's Joseph, that Hebrew down there. He can interpret dreams. And they brought Joseph up before Pharaoh. Here's his opportunity to shine. His opportunity to make a better life for himself. Everybody thinks he's got some power that no one else possesses in Egypt, because no one could interpret the dream of Pharaoh. But here's Joseph. And the first thing Joseph said to Pharaoh, he says, I'm paraphrasing, he said, it's not me that interprets dreams. It's God. He gave the glory to God. He had his faith in God. He showed Pharaoh, my faith's in the Lord. My faith's in my God. And you remember what Jacob asked Joseph? He said, Jacob, make sure my bones are back in Canaan. They were living in Egypt, in Goshen. Make sure. And Joseph said, you got it, Father. We'll do it. That was faith. That was faith to say, hey, we're getting out of Egypt one day. We will dwell in Canaan like God promised our great-grandfather Abraham and our grandfather Isaac and my father Jacob. What about he had faith in the prison. He had faith in the palace. And we're going to see in chapter 50, he had faith in his passing. He tells them to take his bones also to Canaan. Faith. What about meekness? You know what meekness is? Can I give you a picture of meekness? Am I boring tonight? Because I ain't getting a lot of amens. Are y'all under conviction? Are y'all okay? Everybody okay? Okay, good, Dave. I appreciate that. All right, meekness. You know what meekness is? How meekness is seen? If I'm going to take a rock. I'm not actually going to do it, but I'll take a rock and we'll go out there to a pond. I'm going to take a rock and I'm going to, as hard as I can, I'm going to throw that rock straight into that water. Water's going to splash, and there's just, all of a sudden, you're going to see a rippling effect, won't you? You know what I'm talking about? Little waves, little rippling. And you stand there long enough, before you know it, one by one, those ripples are going to disappear, and before you know it, it's going to be just like glass again. Watch this, like nothing ever happened. But if I come in this church and take that rock and I throw it against that sheetrock wall there, You come in here a year later, something doesn't fix it, and you'll see it. You know what meekness is? It's people that act when they're mistreated, when they're harmed, when things come in their life, they act like that water does. They just absorb it, and it just, it hurts, but yet they allow the Holy Spirit to work, and before you know it, you look at them and you think, wow. The enemy looks and said, man, I wanted to do more than that to them. That didn't really do nothing to them. Look at them. They're still going strong. They still love the Lord. I thought it'd knock them out of their saddle. I thought it'd discourage them. I thought it'd make them bitter. They're still sweet. But if you want to be hard as a sheetrock wall and something hits you, everybody's going to know it. Hey, man. That's what meekness is. Moses was the meekest man who ever lived. That's meekness. What about the last one, temperance? Temperance, oh my. You know what temperance is? Self-control. Self-control. Self-control, not to commit sin with Potiphar's wife. That was temperance. For a woman, probably no doubt a very beautiful woman, because she was married to royalty. And he probably had his choice of any of the women, if Pharaoh didn't want them. And he picked this one, no doubt a very beautiful woman, attractive woman. He had the temptation to lay with her often. But yet, he had temperance, self-control to say, how can I do this wickedness before God? He was actually saying, are you listening to me? He was actually saying, while I'm committing adultery with you, if that's what I do, God is going to know it. It's not going to get by Him. He's going to know it. But he had temperance. What about his dealings with his brothers who hated him? Wasn't that temperance? He had temperance, didn't he? I believe Joseph was, just like his father said, a fruitful branch. Then notice what it says there. We'll close with this. Notice where this fruitful branch is located. Are you in verse number 22? Don't close your Bible, because you're going to miss this, because this is the greatest part of the whole lesson. And some of you are thinking, it's got to get better than what it's been so far. But it is. All right, here it is. He's a fruitful branch by where? By a well. Ain't that something? Number two, not only do we see, number one, the evidence of Joseph's fruitfulness, number two, we look at the energy to his fruitfulness. The energy. Him being a fruitful branch, where does he get his energy? Where does he get his resource? He's getting it from a well. Some of you ain't there yet. Hallelujah. What's associated with a well? Water. Water. You know what is key for any branch, any tree, any fruit, any grass to survive? Water. Water. The Bible says here that he is a fruitful branch by a well. They've got to have water. If there's no water, there's no growth. If there's no water, there's no producing. If there's no water, there is no beauty. Some of you ain't got there yet. I'm already there. Better hang on. This train's leaving in a hurry. You better catch up with me. Joseph, his evidence of his fruitfulness. Joseph's, the energy of his fruitfulness. What gave him the energy? What gave him the resource to be fruitful? It was the water in the well. Jesus Christ is the living water. And the reason that Joseph stayed so fruitful, and the reason that he produced, and the reason that he was such a beautiful Christian, is because he stayed close to the well. If you and I are going to be a beautiful Christian, if you and I are going to produce for God's glory, if we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to be a blessing, we've got to stay close to the water. Jesus is the water. He's the living water. And because he stayed near to God, because he stayed near the well, because of that, in time of temptation, he could say, I can't do this sin before God. Because he stayed close to the well. a branch that's close to the water is always strong. It's not withered up. It's not dried up. It's not brittle. It's not about to break. It's strong. Why? Because of the water. Are you here tonight just a brittle, brittle, dying Christian? Can I suggest to you your problem? You've got too far from the well. Preacher, we know it's Wednesday night, but that's some good preaching. I just want to say, amen, preacher! I'm telling you, we've got to get close to the well. The Bible says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to thee. In the prison, when he could have been overcome with sinful pride because he successfully interpreted those dreams, but yet he was so near the well, so near the water, so near to God, that he said, interpretations doesn't come from me, they come from God. In Psalms chapter number 1, the Bible says that those Christians that are fruitful, they're fruitful because they're like a tree planted by the waters. If we stay close to God, if we stay close to the water of life, we stay in His Word, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Let me say this in closing. You ought to write this down, put it in your heart, ask the Spirit of God to plant it deep in your heart. Without the well, without the water, without Jesus Christ, number one, our witness will wither. Without the water, our witness will wither. If you don't have the water, if you're not saturating yourself with the water, your witness for God will wither. Number two, if you're not close to the well like Joseph was, your work for God will wither. What you're doing for the Lord, whether you're a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a singer, whether whatever you do for God, whether you're just somebody that trying to live for the Lord and be a witness, your work will wither without the water. Am I right? Does that make sense? I mean, y'all are pretty smart folks. I mean, it makes sense. Without the water, your witness will wither, your work will wither, and last of all, without the water, your welfare will wither. Your welfare will wither. We need the water, amen? We need the water. And then, I'm going to say this and I'm done. We got to finish the verse. Number one, Joseph is a fruitful branch. We've seen the evidence of his fruitfulness. Number two, we've seen the energy of his... I'm telling you, verse 22, a preach. It'll preach. His energy, his resource came from the water. Number three, I want you to see the extension of his fruitfulness. What's the last part of 22 say? It says, whose branches run over the wall? The extension of his fruitfulness. The Bible says that Jacob said, Joseph, boy, he's my darling son. He's had such godly character. He says, remember he said that to one son, he says, you're like a donkey that can bear the strong burdens. He just told Naphtali, he says, you're like a doe, roaming, free-spirited. And he just kind of, you know, went through each son and told him, Reuben, he says, you're unstable as water. You're wishy-washy. And he told Simeon and Levi, he says, your anger is fierce. Your anger is out of control. But then he gets to Joseph and he says, Dan, you're a serpent, by the way. Then he gets to Joseph and God says, Jacob, here's what I want you to say about your boy Joseph. He is a fruitful branch that is by the well. And his branches run over the wall. Can you just get that picture in your mind of a branch? Maybe it's located there beside, there's a well there, there's a wall, maybe a fence, stone wall, what are you going to say? And there's a tree and it's got a branch. You know we're not the tree, don't you? Jesus is the tree. We're just the branches. Okay? Okay. Now, if there's no tree, there's no branch. Come on, I need a witness. If there's no tree, there's no branch. You can't be a branch without the tree. Okay? Without Jesus, we're nothing. We're the branch. He's the tree. Okay? beside a well, and there's a fence beside this tree, and these branches begin to be fruitful, and they begin to grow, and you can see it as it works its way over that fence, over that wall. It's running. It's just running rapid. It's just almost overtaking the wall or the fence. It's just overrunning it. The extension of his fruit. He was so fruitful that he was a blessing to so many other people. He reached out to other people. You know who are the real blessings? It's those that have the touch of God. They've been used of God. They've given their life, consecrated it to the Lord. And they've stayed by the water of the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And they've just been fruitful and stronger as a Christian. And you can see their extension and their fruitfulness because they've reached out and they start touching other people. They don't have this attitude, my four, no more. God bless me. Me. No. They reach out, less like in branches. And they'll even, watch this, are you with me? They'll even reach over the wall to help others. You know what a wall's a picture of? This is good stuff. We might take an offering up after this. You know what a wall does? You know what a wall does, Brother Harold? It separates. It divides. And I'm telling you what, you and I, we're in this day and age of such racism. I can't stand it. It's just by the grace of God you were born an American. You can have been born a Chinese. It's just the grace of God. Whatever color skin you are, and we've got folks all over the globe that listens to us, whether it be white, black, red, yellow, some folks are green when they're sick. And whatever, and we've got all these barricades, and we're separated by racism, and we feel like we're separated by the those that are rich and those that are poor, those that are educated, those that are illiterate, those that are famous, and those that are nobodies. And all these walls are set up in our life and in our world we live. But the Bible says all that things that separate us, that if we'll just let God work and touch us, and we stay by the well, we'll get strong, and we'll begin to reach out to other people. And we'll help. It's just not reaching out to our own family and our own church. If this church stays in these four walls, shame on it. Shame on it. It's not a true church. If this church only cares about what's in these four walls, shame on it. We've got to reach over the walls, and we've got to branch out, and we've got to touch other people's lives. Amen. Joseph was a blessing to a lot of people. Joseph was a tremendous blessing to a lot. God blessed him, but it didn't stop there. Joseph said, I'm going to be a channel of blessings. I'm going to let the blessings flow through me. You know what most of us are? Sponges. We bump and we hold it. And we hold it tight. Come on now. We hold it tight. But we need to be channels of blessings. Let those blessings flow and be a help to reach out and touch other people's lives. God help us to be like Joseph. God help us to be like Joseph. All right, I love you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord tonight.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing
to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins, and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.